to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! You keep telling me that. Who is she?
Well, don't touch that dial, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of SWAT!
The King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Here's Tom Morgan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Adam Abdallah. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. It could be a sports collectible, pop culture, political item. And we have a guest this week, an expert in the autograph business, Mr. James Spence, Jimmy Spence from JSA Autograph Authentication. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you and Bill Huggins now are both at a show for those people who listen on the internet. What show are you guys at today?
We're in Valley Forge at the Valley Forge Convention Center, just outside of Philadelphia. And this is the third day of the show that we're at.
And both of you guys will be in town in 2 weeks, I believe, at the Sun-Times show. Is that correct?
Well, I'll be there, Tom. Jimmy's company will be there, but I don't think Jimmy is going to be there himself.
Okay, so if somebody wants to get something authenticated by JSA at the Sun-Times show, they can still get it done, but they won't be able to talk to Jimmy at that.
Yeah, I'll be elsewhere. I think I'm at a show somewhere in Boston that weekend or somewhere else. I know they got me somewhere.
You guys traveling the globe, huh? Doing sports collectibles shows.
Oh, absolutely. And as far as my company goes, JSA is probably in four or five different cities every weekend.
Really? You're kidding.
Oh, yeah. We split up. We have an office down in Fort Lauderdale and the one up in Parsippany, New Jersey, and you know, authenticators in other places in the country, and we travel a great deal.
Now, I get questions at T-Crown. I have Triple Crown Trading Company in Naperville, a sports collectibles shop, and I get questions from people a lot. How does somebody become an autograph authenticator? Is there a class or a school they go to? Or, like, if somebody wanted to be an authenticator for JSA, what do they have to do?
Well, it's on-the-job training. I mean, I have a certificate of forensic document examination that I got years ago, but really it's the exposure to autographs. I've probably stared at more autographs than anybody in the world. JSA authenticates some 350,000 autographs each year.
Whoa.
And seeing this and having the largest exemplar file, which is a collection of autographs from all different fields in chronological order, that we have a huge database, we're able to make the distinction of the evolution of someone's signature over time. We get submissions throughout the land, and we travel to see people's collections, or they ship them into us, or auction houses have them displayed, much like Bill's auction. We view thousands of his autographs that are up for consignment each month when he brings them up to our office or we go down to his.
Now, I'm just looking at the Huggins and Scott auctions. The previews are up for the April auction that runs from March 31st to April 10th. And now here's a good example of a lot that was authenticated all by JSA. It's a group of autographed sports books. So there's like a Reggie Jackson book, a Dick Butkus, a Ron Santo, a Ricky Henderson, and then there's a Joe Frazier autograph.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
I've just been dying to use that cut. So anyway, on that lot, now JSA looks over all the books and authenticates all the signatures, makes sure they're all good, and then Huggins runs them in the auction.
Yeah, it's a nice process. So we've got it down to a science now, so that everything that's autographed in his auction indeed has been authenticated by the company. It comes with certificates or letters of authenticity, and people buy with confidence. They feel that, you know, they want that third-party authentication, a non-biased group such as ours that does not get involved in the commerce end of it. And we examine these items for him, and, you know, not everything that he gives us, you know, passes. He gets large collections, and sometimes there's secretarial autographs or auto pen autographs or facsimiles, and we have to sort all this kind of things out, or, you know, outright forgeries. I mean, it's rampant in our industry.
Now, what percentage would you say of autographs that you get in through the year that you guys look over, what percentage would you say don't pass?
I guess, you know, it varies from auction house to, it depends on how it's being submitted to us. Usually what we do for auction houses, we've kind of created firewalls. So a lot of the forgers don't bother sending in bad items to Bill, and knowing that they're going to fail. So to throw a number on it with Bill's, it's not that large of a number. But people that send in items, you know, blindly, you know, through the mail or where they see us at show, it's a much higher incident. And it could be as much as 30% fail in that instance. But, you know, certainly Bill's percentage is much lower, you know, as far as, you know, it's probably less than 5%, certainly.
Now, if you're out there listening today, the number here is 312-332-3776. You can call in with your question about the value of an item like you would in a normal week. Or if you do have an autograph question for Jimmy Spence of JSA Autograph Authentication, he's here with us today. So today is the day to get your questions in there. And Huggins and Scott Auctions, the auction starts March 31st. There's a lot of items in there that are autographed, and pretty much all of them would be authenticated by JSA. Now, another question I get, Jimmy, from people in Triple Crown very frequently is how, like, there's so many celebrities that are currently signed that it's almost like a chicken scratch. I mean, I guess people want to know, how can you tell that some of these things are actually signed by a celebrity when it seems like as time goes on, there's less and less full signatures by people and more almost like a lot of celebrities have like an insignia almost. You basically just look at what you have in your database and compare things, or how do you do that?
Well, we do, but there are a certain number of autographs that are presented to us that are submitted that we go inconclusive, such as many of the ones that, say, Al Pacino signs. It's practically a check mark, which he gives you. I mean, I guess but he's doing you a favor. But, you know, he's accommodating the request in person, but really it's no more than a check mark. So you can't authenticate something
right,
like that.
Right.
Take a pass. And that's the case with a lot of... a lot of celebrity autographs, if we don't feel good about the structure of the signature, the speed, the shading, you know, if it's not consistent with something in our database, we just have to take a pass and go inconclusive.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, we have John from Elgin is on the line with a question about autographs. John, what do you have there?
Hey, T. Crown. Hey, Mr. Spence. Have a question. How do you handle autographs that aren't in a database? About 10 years ago, I took in a Clint Murchison Jr., who was the founder of the Cowboys, and Travis Williams, who was the Devin Hester of his day back in 70-71. And Travis Williams passed away at a real early age. And I just wonder how you guys handle that stuff.
Actually, we built files. If we've never seen an autograph before, we'll go out and build a file. We have many, many examples of Travis specifically in our database. We've gotten many team signed footballs where his signature has been on. Over the years, we've built quite a file on somebody like that. But if it's cold and we've never seen them, then we have to do a bunch of research and build a file. And if we can't build a file, again, we have to go inconclusive. That, you know, if somebody's autograph is that rare and unable to find reliable exemplars, ones that, you know, that have been on either contracts or canceled checks or something like that, that we feel confident about the authenticity, then again, we would have to go inconclusive. But I wouldn't say that happens very often. I'd say that's not the norm.
Okay.
Are you a Packer fan, John?
Absolutely not. Bears all the way.
Oh, because I was going to say, when you compared Travis Williams to Devin Hester, I thought that was a bit of a reach. I thought you must be a Packer fan.
Oh, no. Travis Williams ran a whole bunch of...
He was a good returner, but I don't think I'd put him in the Devin Hester category.
Well, no, but I mean of the day.
Yeah, of the day. Okay, I'll give you that.
All right.
All right, thanks for the call, John.
Guys, bye.
All right, Riverview guy is on. Tell us what you have there. You have an autographed Riverview guy. It's a kind of an unusual one today.
Tiger Woods making a 25-foot putt.
Okay, oh, stay on focus there, Riverview guy.
I've got the original Hermits, the whole group, the whole band from the original, from the 60s. Also, Martha Reeve and the Vandellas, they had hits with Dancing in the Streets, and they had Heat Wave.
Now, Herman's Hermits, Jimmy, have you ever done anything with them?
Well, Peter Noon's autograph is quite popular. I mean, he signs. He's out there quite a bit. He does a lot of concerts. His signature I would not consider rare at all. We get that type of merchandise in, too. It's not just sports. We do political, historical, music. We do Pope's autographs and... unfortunately, crime as well. There's quite a few people that collect that kind of stuff. Everything, including Herman's Hermits.
So, Jimmy, if during the week I had an autograph that I wanted authenticated, there you go, how would I get a hold of you? What's the best way to contact you?
Well, you can see where we're going to be at. All of our locations, all of our events and shows that we're at are located on our website, SpenceLOA.com, or you could send items in to either our New Jersey or Florida office. We get items in. People ship them all the time. And it's quite easy to get in touch with us because we're around the country, four or five different cities every weekend. So most likely we're coming to a show or an event somewhere near you.
Okay, the number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And this week we have Jimmy Spence from JSA Autograph Authentication on with us. You can give us a call with your question about the value of an item, or if you have an autograph question for Mr. Spence, you get in the drawing. We're giving away this week a box of 2013 Crown Royal football to one caller or tweeter. Now, I got from my Twitter ID is TCrownTom, and if you send me an item through Twitter, if I use it on the show, you will also get in the drawing. I listed on Twitter last week, we had a question about from a listener who had a picture. It was roughly 44 inches wide in a frame and 15 or 16 inches high. It was the 1930 Chicago Cubs. It was a blue ribbon malt photo, and he brought it into T-Crown this week. I put a picture of that up on my T-Crown Tom Twitter ID if you want to check that out. Josh Wilkin from Huggins and Scott, I talked to him about it, and he actually found a couple that had sold. It looks like it's an item probably in the $150 to $250 range, which isn't really an item that would go in a Huggins and Scott auction, not quite up to the high value. But it's a neat item. It might even be something if the listeners with the item, maybe I could put it on consignment for a month or two in T-Crown. It would look good on the wall at Triple Crown in Naperville. I always like stuff like that. People get to see some unusual things, even if I only keep it in there for a month or two. It's just kind of neat to have on
the
wall.
You have a lot of cool stuff on your walls.
Yeah.
You have a lot of interesting
things. Never know.
Things.
Some of it I think I might have trouble getting off. Some of it's been on there for so long. But it's time for a short break, so give us a call at 312-332-3776 with your question. We've got a short break. We'll be back after that, but hang in there, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Tune in Sunday mornings at 7 for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
on ESPN Chicago and ESPNChicago.com.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and this week we have a guest, Jimmy Spence from JSA Autograph Authentication. And you can call us with a question, 312-332-3776, and get in a drawing. We're giving away a 2013 Panini Crown Royal football box to one caller or tweeter. If you Twitter me a question, at T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we get it in and use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing. Vince is comes into T Crown once a week or so usually, and open some packs, and we do some splits and things. And this week, he pulled a really nice card. Again, I don't think it's quite to the LeBron 16 autograph quality, but this was a really good card, and even better than I thought when I did a little research on it. It came out of, that was out of Bowman Sterling, right?
Yeah, Bowman Sterling, okay. A dual autograph of Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor, shortstops, up-and-coming shortstops.
Number one of 35, which is cool having the number
one. It's nice
one.
To have the number one, yep.
Only 35 of them made. And I know Baez, he's off to a big start for the Cubs, a power-hitting shortstop, who the way he's built, I don't know. I mean, he's got an unusual build if he's going to play shortstop. I guess he's got a really good arm, but he's got a really big lower body. I don't know if he'll have range for short. Maybe he will.
He's solid. He's strong.
He's going to be a power hitter. Yeah. They're going to have to find a spot for him. But what I didn't realize is that on MLB, Francisco Lindor is actually a higher-rated shortstop prospect than Baez. They have Lindor is the number one shortstop, and Baez is the number four, which is kind of amazing. So that's really a good card. Now, Vince, if somebody wants to look at that item, what's your eBay ID?
Yeah, I just put it on yesterday, ERC1199. ERC1199 is my eBay ID, and that dual auto of Baez and Lindor is on there.
All right, very good. Now, we have some questions here from callers. Clay from Winnetka's on the line. What do you have there, Clay?
Good morning. Morning, Tom. How are you?
Good.
Question for the guest today. I am building a collection for my son, starting out with some athletes right now, but want to branch off into the astronaut session. And I'm just wondering if you can ask your panelists there, who are interesting, which direction I should head. Obviously, it's very limited, and I'm sure some don't even sign, but is that a good idea, and which route should I head to, Tom? And thanks for taking the call.
I think it's a great idea, and Jimmy, you know, how often do you get astronaut autographs? And I would think maybe more than people would think.
Face autographs are on fire right now, especially since the death of Neil Armstrong. We get in many, many space autographs. One thing to be careful of, many of the astronauts have used in the past, especially back in the day when they were astronauts. Now many of them are retired. Especially the bigger names of the Gemini and Mercury and Apollo missions, but many of them are auto-penned. You have to be very careful. And, you know, an auto-pen is a machine that, you know, signs in the likeness of someone's signature, and it's pretty much a duplication over and over again. So we have a large database that, you know, we're able to see. Cause every astronaut is given six auto-pens devices when he becomes an astronaut to help him out, and it kind of mixes it up. So if you're not familiar with all the different versions, you could get stuck with these. And we see these on a regular basis, on a daily basis, we see, you know, autographs of them. But it's a wonderful collectible, you know, and there's a lot of space shuttle autographs and some astronauts that never actually made it up, but they were trained to be NASA astronauts. It's quite interesting, and it's a very popular collectible.
Both for Bill and for Jimmy, what are a couple of the most valuable astronaut autographs out there that you see?
Well, unfortunately, wherever there's tragedy, you know, you're going to see collectibles go up in value. So any of the missions where the astronauts died, such as you know, Chaffee, White, Grissom, or the Challenger autographs, or even astronauts that died pretty early on. And, you know, Neil Armstrong lived till his early 80s, but, you know, his signature is absolutely on fire. you pretty much can't touch anything on him for less than, say, $700-$800. So, and that's incredible for someone that did sign a lot early on in his career. And then I would say somewhere in the mid-90s, he didn't stop, but it was very selective, the events that he would actually sign and the circumstances. But he really removed himself from that. And part of it, and it's interesting, Neil Armstrong, it coincided with the advent of eBay. Once he started seeing his autographs and what they were selling for on eBay, all of a sudden he put the brakes on signing through the mail.
Really? You're kidding. Huh. That's interesting. So, yeah, Clay, go ahead, Bill.
We've sold quite a bit of the Apollo 11, the three of the guys, Aldrin and Collins and Armstrong. The three of those on a signed photo, there's a standard one that you see a lot. The last ones I think we've sold have been in the $2,000 to $3,000 range.
Wow.
As far as that goes. But a lot of those that we get in and we'll take up to Jimmy to get authenticated, I would say at least half, if not more, are auto pens or pre-printed or something like that. Whereas, and unfortunately, when you go back to the potential consigner and tell them that, they're a little bit or a lot of it disappointed. You know?
Yeah. So, Clay, it sounds like you're barking up the right tree there. If you're really into the astronauts, it's a good thing, but be very careful that they're really signed, authenticated, and not auto pen. But it sounds like you got something. You're onto the right thing there, Clay.
All right, Tom. Great show. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, very
answer.
Good.
Thank you.
Next on the line, we have Tom from Tinley Park. What do you have there, Tom?
Hey, guys. I have an autographed football. It's official Bears football, the one with the white panel on it. And Dick Butkus signed it first, and then Urlacher and Mike Singletary finally.
Now, the three of them, that's a real good group. I wouldn't get anybody else probably on that one. The three of them together is a good thing, and it's probably, I would think, maybe at least $300 if they're all authentic autographs and a white panel football. That's a nice item. Next on the line, we have Dan from Griffith, Indiana. What's new, Dan?
Hey, how you doing? Speaking of space, you guys, I got an autograph from a guy that was in a movie, Space Jam, number 23, Michael Jordan.
Is it on a Space Jam item, Dan?
No, I'm just joking, but I got number 45, Michael Jordan, a black and white picture framed autograph against Orlando Magic, and I got it from a friend of my mom's years ago, and I just put it up, and there was never a certificate of authenticity.
Now, Jimmy Spence, I imagine you see a lot of Jordan forgeries come through, huh?
Over 90% of what is submitted to us for authentication fails. It's
for Jordan.
Absolutely epidemic. I would say Jordan and Tiger Woods have perhaps the highest incidence of forgery. And it's up there. I mean, there's a lot of Babe Ruths and Lou Gehrigs that are, you know, forged a high percentage. But specifically with Jordan and Woods, it's incredible just how much is bad out there. But nevertheless, if it gets authenticated, it sells for a wonderful premium. I mean, it's collected. It's not just Chicago area fans that are collecting him. He transcends even outside of basketball. People that have collections of Americana would want his autograph.
Yeah, at one point it seemed like Ali and Jordan were probably world known as well as any athletes. Now, what have you guys noticed as far as Jordan items? Is there a particular item that's signed of his that sells for the most?
Jerseys especially. I see the big numbers coming out of jerseys. You got to be very careful. You know, there's a lot of jerseys that are purportedly game used, and it's very difficult to ascertain whether or not they were worn by Jordan in a game. So that I would say, and then that's not my expertise, but you have to be extremely careful with that because those go, it's exponentially more money when it is indeed a game-worn item.
Now,
his autograph is still sought after even, you know, years after his retirement and his Hall of Fame induction.
Can you, Jimmy, can you take us quickly through the process? We had a caller, I think it was last week, that said they had a 52 Brooklyn Dodgers signed baseball. And I know there's oftentimes clubhouse signatures on those baseballs. But can you take us through the process kind of quickly as far as somebody sends in a Brooklyn Dodgers baseball to you, how you handle it, how you authenticate, what you look for?
Well, the first thing we do is identify the item it was signed on, make sure that the ball was indeed vintage to that time. You'd be surprised. Some forgers have tried to put, you know, team sign items or individual items. They put autographs on items that were manufactured after the person died. So you definitely want to make sure that the item was around, that it was vintage, and if it was typical. I mean, a lot of this authentication is repetitious. We've seen typically people would sign in the same area of the ball. People are creatures of habit. They feel comfortable signing their name in a certain portion of the ball, and they tend to place their name in that section, especially baseball players that don't want to have to sign the same item twice. They flip the ball around. They'll put it on the lower panel, on a side panel of a ball. So there's that. There's the structure of the signature, of course, the age of the ink that's on the ball itself, the patina of it. You know, there's different. It actually cures into the leather, and also the pen itself. I mean, it was a typical what writing implement was typical at that time that someone would use. So a lot goes into it. Not to mention all the names have to line up. You know, one player gets traded for another. So therefore, on an old team signed ball, you probably wouldn't see those two players, even though they played during the season, on that same ball. And then what happens, and this has happened very often, is that not everybody signed the ball. A lot of times the clubhouse attendant or the bat boys would fill in the gaps. You know, there might be somebody that was on the injury rolls, he couldn't sign, or for whatever reason, he was lazy, didn't want to, or he paid off the clubhouse people to sign for him. So you need to be extremely careful because it affects the value of the ball. Let's say, you know, on a lot of Brooklyn Dodger balls from that era, Duke Snider didn't sign his name. I mean, it was done typically by the bat boy, the longtime clubhouse assistant, Charlie Brow DiGiovanna. He signed many of his, and yet Jackie signed most of them from that era. So, you know, you need to be extremely cautious. Educate yourself. I always tell that. You know, just don't collect without educating yourself, finding out, reading articles that have been written. I wrote a book about team sign baseballs, in fact, a couple of years ago, which is available. The book, you know, very, very clearly points all of these things out and goes into depth on all that.
Boy, there really is a lot that goes into it. That's even more than I realize. There's a lot of possible problems when you're looking for that. So really, that is great advice. Do your research as much as you can, especially if you're thinking of buying something that's valuable. The more information you know before you buy, the better off you are, and that's great information. So now it's almost time for another short break. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and this week we have Jimmy Spence from JSA Autograph Authentication on with us. Give us a call at 312-332-3776 if you have a question about the value of an item or an autograph question, and we'll put you in a drawing. We're giving away a box of 2013 Crown Royal football to one caller, or if you still have time, you can tweet me a question. Tweet me a picture of an item on my Twitter ID is T Crown Tom. If we use it, you'll get in the drawing. So hang in there. We've got a couple short breaks here, and we'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our guest this week, Jimmy Spence of JSA Autograph Authenticators. Okay. Huggins and Scott Auctions. Now, here's a good example of an item that, a valuable item, kind of an unusual item, and it's authenticated by JSA. This is a 1933 New York Yankees team signed ball with Ruth Gehrig. JSA authenticated in the April Huggins and Scott auction that starts March 31st. What's unusual about this thing, Bill, is that it's got a hole in it that apparently, do you see this very often where somebody had it on something for a display?
We do see that, believe it or not, more often than you might think, where people mounted it on something. I mean, at the time that they had this ball or got it signed, it had no value other than it was a prized possession and didn't really have monetary value. And
right,
they wanted to display it rather than put it in a sock in a drawer. So they would drill a little hole and stick it in on a stand and put it on their desk or something and look at it.
Is that hole through the Gehrig signature on that?
Through part of it there, yeah,
oh,
a little bit.
Gosh.
Now, here's something, too, in the description of it where, like, Jimmy was talking about how on a team-signed baseball, some are signed by the guys, some aren't. This particular ball had clubhouse signatures from Hill, Malone, Chapman, Rupert, so that's why you need a company like JSA to look over these type things, because you're not sure if all of them are real, some of them are real, the whole thing. You get the authentication with it, and you really know what you're getting. But we're on till 8 a.m. Central Time now, so you got time to call in 312-332-3776 if you have a question about the value of your item. Or if you have a question about autographs, give us a call, and you get in a drawing. We're giving away a box of 2013 Panini Crown Royal football. The clocks have changed, but we've got people up and at them. And Mike from the South Side's been waiting. Thanks for waiting. Mike, what do you have?
Listen, I'd just like to talk to you about how to find a person to authenticate your autographs. Like, what should I look for? Because I've heard about board certified and court approved, that kind of thing.
Okay, do you know what he's talking about, Jimmy?
Well, I mean, there's quite a few so-called authenticators out there, but a lot do not have the experience. I mean, what it all boils down to is an item going to sell for a premium if a certain letter of authenticity is attached to it. You could be XYZ Authentication Company, and it could be out there, but the collectors around the country know that it's not going to sell for more. In fact, it might be a detriment to that item. You need to find someone, such as JSA, that has the reputation. We have hundreds of thousands of certified items up in auctions on eBay. Not anybody's allowed up on eBay, in fact. There are certain authentications companies that have been banned. Over the years, JSA has built up a reputation as being the go-to authenticator. I mean, this is based on years of knowledge, a staff that's been able to determine the validity of an autograph. I mean, you need to do your research. Don't take my word for it. You go in there and ask people, and you have wonderful tools such as the internet, and find out how people respect our company. I mean, that's really important.
Mike, here's a good example. Like, for instance, somebody brought in a Joe DiMaggio signed item into my shop, Triple Crown in Naperville. Now, if somebody brings something in and I'm interested in it, first I'm going to look it over. If it doesn't look good to me, I'm going to just say, no, I'm not interested. If it either the look of the item, or if it looks like it might not be real. If I think it's real, then I'm going to send it to JSA for them to look at it, because they've looked at so many more of them. They might know something about the Joe DiMaggio or whoever on their signatures that there's a problem with them, that whether it's auto pen like with the astronauts, or whether it's that they're known to have one guy is forged in a certain way or whatever. So if I'm interested in an item, I'm going to look at it. I'll do my research, but then I still need JSA to give their final approval on it, or I'm not going to sell an autographed item. So the best advice is just do as much research as you can. Even if something is authenticated and it doesn't look good to you, if you don't like it, don't get it. You got to feel really good about it. Be as positive as you can that you think it's real. It has authentication. You've looked things up. It looks good. And, before you make the buy, that's the best advice. Do your homework. Ralph from St. Charles has an item. What do you have there, Ralph?
Yeah, good morning. I have two autographed pictures of non-athletic people. Just one is Telly Savalas, and one is Marty Robbins.
Ah, Telly Savalas. Now, I don't think he's that valuable. Marty Robbins, guys, either of those, do you authenticate them, or do you have their items?
Well, Marty Robbins was at the county fair at Kane County, and we got it there. So I know it was signed by him, but no. It's not authenticated.
I'm talking, Ralph, to Jimmy and Bill Huggins, if they ever have either one of them. And
Telly's popular. I mean, we get his autograph in to authenticate on a regular basis. As Kojak, he especially signed photographs of him as Kojak. That's what sells. It's interesting, the type of photograph, if he was just in, say, civilian clothes or wasn't associated with it, it doesn't sell for as much. But, Savalas was a good signer back in the day, but he died, relatively early on in his life. He didn't get really into the old age. So his autograph is popular.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting item from Mike in Paddock Lake. Tell us what you have there, Mike.
Hi. Good morning.
Hello.
Listen to you guys all the time.
Thanks, Mike.
It was a couple, two or three weeks ago I called in. But then my wife says, why don't you call about this thing that she got from her grandmother as a Shirley Temple autograph. Now, it's not live, I don't know how you would say it, but it's on a little creamer, silver, blue creamer, and she seems to think it's like a depression glass with a little picture of her with her signature right below the picture.
So is it a stamped-on signature as part of the creamer, or do you think that she may have really signed it?
Well, yeah, it was a stamped-on type of deal.
Now, Bill, do you ever get that type of an item, an old piece of china or whatever that has a celebrity on it? Do you ever run an item like that in a Huggins and Scott auction?
Well, we have sold, dishes like from Mickey Mantle's restaurant that have his autograph kind of emblazoned on it, and Joe DiMaggio's restaurant, Jack Dempsey, some of those celebrities that have restaurants will have dishes and stuff like that that have had their facsimile autographs on there, and yes, they do sell.
I imagine Shirley Temple, there was probably a lot of her stuff around there for a while. She was just huge. Well, Jimmy, would you authenticate her autographs very often? I would imagine she'd be a pretty valuable autograph.
Yes, and the ones that are valuable are the ones she signed as a child star.
Oh, I bet.
They're very infantile and labored signatures, but those are wonderful. I actually have a Shirley Temple hanging in my home. I love her. I mean, it's sad to hear of her passing, but, again, very popular. People collect not just her autograph, but there's a tremendous amount of memorabilia, ephemera on her. And whenever someone dies, I always see the spike in interest in that person's autograph. And just within the last week, I've authenticated more Shirley Temples than I did over the past year.
What type items do you see come in with her autograph on it? Is it usually those autograph books, or do you ever see like a signed baseball or what type stuff?
Most of the time, it's going to be a photograph, and it's interesting. Uh-huh. Some of them are when she was a child, at her height of her popularity. But then you see, her in her teenage years, and even, in her adulthood. I mean, she was a special ambassador for the United States. So she was an avid signer throughout her life, and she would sign in the latter years. Shirley Temple Black, she would use her, husband's surname as well in with her autograph. But her autograph evolved. It's interesting to see over the years how it evolved into a much more stylized signature, right up until, I guess, into her 80s.
Anything come to mind as the most valuable item of hers that you've seen sell?
Usually the a nice sepia photograph, a studio portrait, especially with her curls and her hair. I mean, that's what sells the best, is if you can get that type of image, or her dancing, or I would say the real holy grail would be if she was in a picture signed with Bojangles Robinson.
Whoa.
That would be a coup to get something like that, because Robinson died, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometime in the early 50s, perhaps. So if you were to have a photograph with the two of them, that would be a real charm.
Now, any of her stuff ever sell over a grand?
Item like that certainly would.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was an avid signer. She was very gracious through the mail. You often get very good signatures. There were secretarials early on, but not so much in later life. You know, she was actually signing her mail for quite, you know, for many, many years.
Now, Huggins and Scott has, in the April auction going March 31st through April 10th, a Ted Williams signed 1935 Herbert Hoover High School yearbook. How big are signed yearbooks? Do you get those in very often from celebrities?
Oh, very popular. We see yearbooks of all different types of celebrities. And the neat thing is that they were signing not as an autograph as a celebrity at those times. They were just classmates. And people do collect yearbooks. And a lot of times I know dealers or auction houses have gone into the towns where these people went to school and have put ads in the newspaper or come and do like some kind of a road show and seek out that. That's part of their ad. They want to see those yearbooks. And, you know, many of the classmates, if you had 100, 200 kids in your class, you know, the chances are that that celebrity, who wasn't a celebrity at the time, would have signed your yearbook. And usually they're not just signed with the autograph either. There's some kind of a sentiment, some inscription on it. And sometimes in multiple places, you know, if the person is part of a sports team or some other type of club within there, they'll sign each one of the photographs that are in there. It's a neat collectible. I mean, I think it's wonderful. I personally, in my own collection, I have Vince Lombardi's autograph in a high school yearbook of the high school that I had gone to. It was signed years before it was his first coaching position at St. Cecilia High School in Englewood, New Jersey, where I grew up. So, I mean,
that's cool.
I would encourage anybody to get into that collectible. In fact, I think it's undervalued.
Cool. Now, I collect NBA Hall of Fame autographs, and one recent one that I picked up that I thought was going to be really difficult, and I'd like to know how many of these you've seen. I got a Maurice Stokes autograph. Jimmy, do you get his in very often?
Yes. A lot of auction houses do indeed submit that. I can't say that it's plentiful, but they are out there. We have a nice exemplar file on him. When did he get sick? It was sometime in the late 60s.
Late 50s, and he passed away in the 60s. We had Jack Twyman on as a guest one time. He stayed on the whole hour and told that whole story. There was actually a movie made about that, an incredible story where Jack was his teammate and actually took care of him after he had the stroke. It was before they had a union in the NBA, and I guess he had no family that could take care of him. He was paralyzed, and he lived, I think, maybe 8 to 10 years afterwards. And Jack Twyman said that he was such an upbeat personality, even being paralyzed, that he would cheer him up on some days, that it was really, really just an incredible guy. Maurice Stokes was, I guess if you had to compare him, was probably a Dennis Rodman-type player, where he a big-time rebounder, but he actually had an offensive game, too. So he would have been a great player. I think he was only able to play 2 or 3 years, but he did make the Hall of Fame. And actually, when we had him on, Norm Van Leer called in out of the blue on the show to tell Jack Twyman he was his hero for taking care of him like that.
It's an amazing story.
It really was a cool story, yeah. Okay, yeah, really something else. But I was very happy to get that autograph because I didn't know how many of them would even be out there. So I got them on a 50s, I think it's a program or something. I got it a year or so ago. Sean from Glenview's on the line. What do you have there, Sean?
Hey, I've got a two-part question. One, I had bought my kids when they were born in the mid-90s, early 2000s, a Topps, complete set of cards. And I'm just curious, I've not given it to them yet, probably going to do when they're 21 or whatever, but wanted to know is the value of those sets, is it better that they're unopened?
Yeah, typically unless you get a big star and you get it graded and it gets a gem mint, it's typically better to have a sealed set from the 90s. It seems like from the strike of 94 till now, they started making less sets. In the 80s and 90s, they were making a ton of them. And, you know, a lot of those late 80s, early 90s aren't worth too much, but the value got better after 94. We have time for one more quick one here. Doug's from Deerfield's been waiting. What do you have there, Doug, real quick?
Hi, guys. Really quick, I've got a 10 signed and drawing by Bob Kane, who created Batman and Robin. So it's a picture of heads of Batman and Robin with Bob Kane's autograph on it.
Okay, you guys have any idea on the value of that one?
Is it an 8 by 10 of Kane? I'm sorry, what was that item?
He basically drew it on the back of a menu. It's a blank menu, but it was just a pen drawing by him. We met him at a restaurant.
Oh, great, yeah. I mean, hand-drawn items of Kane are very desirable. They're picking up steam. There's a lot of forgeries out there, so that's one that you definitely want to get authenticated. He's really an icon. I mean, look at the popularity of Stan Lee. You know, Bob Kane died, you know, really before he had an opportunity to do a lot of these type of signings.
Okay, well, we're running at the end here, so contact Bill at HugginsandScott.com if you want to talk to him about getting that. And it's time to do the drawing, Vince, for the box of 2013 Crown Royal Football.
The winner is our good friend, the Riverview Guy.
Oh, he won one. Okay.
So email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to you, set up a delivery at your convenience.
Okay, ercdelivery.com. Jimmy Spence, thanks for coming on. Great information about autographs today. Bill Huggins at Huggins and Scott Auctions. The show you guys are at outside Philadelphia, Valley Forge. People can see you there today. And everybody, have a great week. The winter is over. It's springtime, folks. I'm telling you, it's here. Have a great week, everybody.